بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We start today with the explanation of Sheikh Zayd bin Muhammad bin Hadi al-Madkhali حفظه الله تعالى. And this is a brief explanation of the fifth principle. And just as a reminder, we'll read the text of the fifth principle again. Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, Al-Aslul Khamis, the fifth principle or the fifth foundation, Biyanullahi subhanahu li awliyaihi wa tafriqihi baynahum wa bayna al-mutashabbihina bihim min a'da'illahi al-munafikin wal-fujjar. An explanation by Allah, Allah's explanation, subhanahu, free is he from imperfections, for his awliya, for his pious friends, and an explanation by Allah as to who are his awliya, who are his pious friends, and distinguishing between them and between those who resemble them from the enemies of Allah, the hypocrites and the sinners. وَيَكْفِي فِي هَذَا قَوْلُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ. And sufficient in this regard is his saying, Subhanahu, say, if you truly love Allah, then follow me and Allah will love you. وقوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه. O you who believe, whoever from you turns on his back, then from his religion, then soon will Allah bring a people. He loves them and they love him. وقوله ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون. Indeed, the awliya of Allah, there shall be no fear upon them and nor shall they grieve. Those who believe and used to have taqwa. ثم صار الأمر عند أكثر من يدعي العلم وأنه من حداة الخلق وحفاظ الشرع إلا أن أولياء لا بد فيهم من ترك متابعة الرسل ومن تبعهم فليس منهم. And then the affair became to be such in the view of many of those, or most of those who claimed knowledge and claimed that he is of those who guide the creation and preserve the legislation, that he claimed that the awliya, they must abandon following the messenger, and that anyone who follows the messenger, he cannot be from the awliya. وَلَا بُدَّ مِن تَرْكِ الْجِهَادِ فَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَلِيسَ مِنْهُمْ وَلَا بُدَّ مِن تَرْكِ الْإِيمَانِ وَالتَّقْوَى فَمَنْ تَأَحَّدَ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَالتَّقْوَى فَلِيسَ مِنْهُمْ يَا رَبَّنَا نَسْأَلُكَ الْعَفْوَ وَالْعَافِيَةِ إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاءِ. And likewise they say that a person must abandon striving, jihad. So whoever strives in the sake of Allah, he's not from them, meaning from the awliya. And it is necessary that he abandons iman and taqwa. For whoever adorns himself with iman and taqwa, then he cannot be from them, meaning from the awliya of Allah. O our Lord, we ask you for pardon and safety. Indeed, you are the one who hears the supplication. So the Shaykh, Hafizahullah ta'ala, he begins and says, yes, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he distinguished between the pious friends of Ar-Rahman and between the friends and allies of Ash-Shaytan. Even if the allies of Shaytan, they try to resemble the allies of Ar-Rahman. So despite them trying to do so, we find that there are dala'il, there are evidences, wal-a'mal, actions, wal-aqwal, and statements, wal-af'al, actions, wal-mu'taqadat, and beliefs. All of these things, they distinguish between the two parties. So whilst we have those who claim to be from the awliya of Ar-Rahman, then there are numerous affairs on account of which they are distinguished from the true and real awliya of Ar-Rahman, and they are the aqwal, the statements, wal mu'taqadat, the beliefs, wal a'mal, the actions, wal dala'il, dala'il meaning pointers and indicators. So the Shaykh says, as for the awliya of Ar-Rahman, then right at the very front, at the very front, forefront of their actions is sihhatul i'tiqad, the soundness of belief. And this is because with their actions, they turn and direct themselves to Allah alone, without any partners. And they purify the action therein. They make ikhlas, they have sincerity in directing their actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They fulfill all of the sharia obligations and all of the various affairs of worship, the outward symbols of the affairs of worship, and they do it in a way in which is legislated. Such affairs include the affairs of tahara, the affairs of purity, purification, salah, the prayer, zakah, the giving of the obligatory charity, fasting, sawm, hajj, and having iman in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and in al-qadr, the divine decree, it's good and it's bad, that all of it is from Allah. And then they have ihsan, they have this benevolence and precision in all of their affairs, between that which is between their Lord and them, and between that which is between them and the creation. So in all of these affairs, we see that this is from the characteristics of the awliya of Ar-Rahman, that all of that begins and starts with the foundation of Tawheed and being pure and sincere in the worship of one's Lord. But in a more general sense, the awliya of Ar-Rahman, they are the ones who read the book of their Lord, the Quran, and likewise they take a significant share of the sunnah of their Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they understand all of that with a good understanding, and then they apply it in action. And then they do not restrict all of this to themselves, they then convey what they have learnt, what they have understood, and what they have acted upon to those others besides them. So this, in short and in brief, the Shaykh is describing that this in general is the way of the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he reads the Quran, and then he takes from the sunnah, and then he understands them both with a good understanding. He acquires that understanding, of course, from the ulama, from the scholars of the people of the sunnah, and then he implements all of that in action. And then he doesn't restrict all of this to himself. He then conveys what he has come to know and learn, he conveys it to the ummah. This is in general what the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he does. And the scholars, the alim, the ulama, they are the ones who take the inheritance from the messengers, they convey the da'wah of the messengers, they are the ones who follow the methodology of the messengers. These are all from the awliya of Ar-Rahman. And as for those who oppose them, who are besides them, even if they try to resemble them, they try to resemble them, but we find that in their actions, they do not follow the way of these scholars. And so long as they do not follow the way of these scholars, they can never ever take the attributes of these scholars, of these people, of those who are from the awliya of Ar-Rahman. Why? Because the attributes of being a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are acquired in the way that we described. That a person, he takes from the Quran, he takes from the sunnah, he understands them well in the desired manner, then he acts upon all of that, and then he calls to that. And at the forefront of all of that is the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the affairs of worship in the desired legislated manner, in agreement with the sunnah. When a person adheres to all of this, he is given certain characteristics, he develops certain traits. And those traits, which are the traits of the awliya of Allah, can never ever ever be acquired until and unless a person follows that way and that path that we have just mentioned. And so therefore, when a person doesn't follow that path, then it remains just a mere claim. It is a da'wah. It is a da'wah, it is a claim, an empty claim from a person who claims he is an alim or that he is a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this claim will never ever be accepted. In fact, no claim is accepted unless there is a shar'i burhan, a legislated evidence. An evidence, a criterion and an evidence which is from the sharia and which establishes the correctness of his claim that he has loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is this burhan? What is this burhan shar'i? It is al-i'tisamu bil-kitabi was-sunnah ala al-wajhi as-sahih jumlatan wa tafsila. This is the burhan between a wali of Allah and a wali of shaitan, and in fact a false claimant of walaya to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is al-i'tisamu bil-kitabi was-sunnah ala al-wajhi as-sahih jumlatan wa tafsila, which is holding fast to the book and the sunnah in the desired way, in both general terms and specific terms, in both in general and in specific detail. And anyone who turns away from this i'tisam, from holding fast to the book and the sunnah, even if he claims he is a wali of Allah, then he is a kathibun, he is a liar in that claim. And the Shaykh says, it was said a long time ago, وَالدَّعَاوَى إِذَا لَمْ تَكُنْ بَيِّنَاتٍ عَلَيْهَا فَأَحْلُهَا أَدِّيَا, that claims, when there are not proofs present alongside them, then the people making them are merely claimants. It is just a claim without any evidence. And then the Shaykh says, listen to these verses by which Allah addressed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that they be a scales of balance by which the awliya of Ar-Rahman can be known from the awliya of Shaitan. So these three ayat, the three verses mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab in the text of his principle, the Shaykh then goes on to explain each of these three verses and how they constitute a criterion. So the first of them is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as occurs in Surah Ali Imran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. The Shaykh says that the explainers of the Quran, the Mufassirun, they said that a people, اِدَّعَى قَوْمٌ مَحَبَّةَ اللَّهِ وَقَالُوا نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاؤُهُ فَامْتَحَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ, that a people claimed and said, they claimed to have the love of Allah, and they said, we are the allies of Allah, we are the friends of Allah and his beloved ones. So then Allah tested them by way of this ayah. Qul, here he is commanding Muhammad, say, O Muhammad, to those who claim the love of their Lord, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you truly claim to love Allah, meaning haqiqatan, if you truly, really do love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then make ittiba of me, follow me. This is because these people, they claim to love Allah, but they never made mutaba'ah, they never followed the Messenger of Allah sallam in that which the Messenger brought. So then they were tested by Allah by way of this. So whoever followed, made ittiba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of course in the first degree it must be with respect to matters of belief, the soundness and correctness of belief, and whatever that entails in the matters of tawheed and belief in the unseen and all the affairs that pertain to the matters of belief, which the Prophet ﷺ, he called to for the whole of his life, and in which he singled out a period of 13 years of his da'wah to call to these affairs in Makkah, teaching the people the meaning of La ilaha illallah continuously in all the time before the obligations were revealed. So a person, this is how it is, that the belief, this belief in La ilaha illallah, the sound belief, the affairs of Tawheed, that this is at the forefront of everything. The Messenger called to all of that. So this is the first of those affairs by which a person follows the Prophet ﷺ. And then after that, as the obligations were revealed from the affairs of worship and explanation of the halal and the haram and all the affairs that follow on from that, then all of this is a sign of making ittiba, following that and implementing that. You know, this is a sign of making ittiba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But tawheed is the first affair, and then ittiba is made, and to establish all of that is from the signs of loving Allah, and a sign that the one who follows in this way is a wali from the awliya of Allah. If a person dies whilst he proceeds upon this, then we hope for such a person that he dies upon good, that he receives goodness. We hope for him mercy from Allah, and this is a sign of goodness. It is a sign of a good end, that a person, when he dies upon making mutaba'ah, following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this ayah is in fact a test for everyone who claimed to make or claimed to have the love of Allah and claimed to have the love of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's tested by way of this ayah. If he's known to be someone who's a person of ibadah, person of obedience, person who fulfills the commands of Allah, person who avoids the prohibitions of Allah, and he knows and he's known for obedience to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with respect to the commands and prohibitions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he is a wali from the awliya of Allah, and his claim in loving Allah and loving the Messenger is pure and truthful, is sincere and truthful. However, if he merely made this claim, and in his life, his practical life, and in his practical implementation, we see he does not abide by the command of Allah, does not keep away from his prohibition, doesn't treat as halal what is halal and abide by it, treat as haram what is haram and abide by it, he does not follow or make ittiba of the Messenger of Allah, then his claim is batila. It is a false and futile claim, because the consideration is given to one's actions, not just the mere claim in and of itself, as has already preceded. So this is the first ayah. The second ayah is what is mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. O you who believe, whoever turns apostate from his religion, then soon will Allah bring a people whom He loves, and they will love Him. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. They are humble towards the believers, stern towards the unbelievers. They strive in the path of Allah. They do not fear the blame of the blamers. And that is the bounty of Allah. He gives it to whomever He wills. And Allah is vast and all-knowing. Allah is generous, vast and all-knowing. So therefore these, the Shaykh says, are the true awliya of Allah in truth, because they have adorned and beautified themselves with these attributes and these characteristics. Allah has described them, that they strive in the path of Allah. They don't fear the blame of anyone, meaning that they strive against their own souls. They make jihad against their own souls, and they strive against other than them, and they establish the salah. They give the zakah, and that they are the people of compassion and mercy to the people of iman, and they are people with humility towards the people of iman, and alongside that they show sternness. They show sternness. They are stern towards the people of kufr and tughyan, the people of unbelief and the people of transgression. Why? Because the believer, it's not desirable for him to humiliate himself and to lower himself in the face of the fusaq, the sinful people, and the kuffar. These attributes are the attributes of the awliya of Allah. Whoever claimed to be a wali of Allah, then he is requested to implement and actualize those traits and characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described them with in these verses that are mentioned here. in the various verses that we find in the Quran, such as what is in Surah Al-Ma'idah and Surah Al-Anfal and other such verses. Then the Shaykh moves on to the third ayah, and he says that this ayah is similar to the previous two ayahs. In this ayah in Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Verily, the friends of Allah, the loyal friends of Allah, the allies of Allah, no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they grieve, those who believe and used to have taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described them with two great and mighty descriptions. The first of them is the sifatul iman, the attribute of iman, having iman in everything in which having iman is obligatory, from the foundations of the religion, the rights, the huquq of the religion, the furu', the branches of the religion, and the mukammilat, and the things which bring about perfection in one's religion. All of these affairs, a person has belief in all of them. And the second is at-taqwa, sifatul taqwa, which is defined in brief as fulfilling the commands of Allah and avoiding all of the prohibitions. Or to put it another way, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he has described ibadah in general when he said that it is ismun jami'un لكل ما يحبه الله ويرضاه من الأقوال والأعمال الباطنة والظاهرة. It is a word, comprehensive word, that brings together everything which Allah loves and is pleased with from the statements and actions, whether inward or outward. This is how Ibn Taymiyyah has defined it in a comprehensive definition. And so all of the verses that we mentioned previously, they constitute the scales of balance by which the actions of the creation are weighed. And by way of these scales, it then becomes clear which actions are salah, those which are rectitude and correct, from those which are fasad, from those which are corruption, and likewise from those which are correct, the sawab from the khata, the correct from that which is incorrect. And they are also, these verses, they are from the pointers and evidences and indicators which separate between the awliya of ar-Rahman, those who believe and have taqwa, and from the awliya of shaitan, who turn away from the obedience to their Lord and obedience and following their Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, they respond to the da'wah of shaitan, who calls his party that they may be inhabitants of the fire. And Shaykhul Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, when he made his da'wah, he was facing up to a people in his time who claimed to be from the awliya and the atqiya, the friends of Allah and the pious ones. Yet in reality, they were people who were falling into the greatest shirk, the shirkul akbar, from worshipping idols and statues and obeying the magicians and the swindlers, the fraudsters, and they would be put to trial by the likes of these people due to the ignorance of the people who were present in that time, and due to them being ignorant in both ignorance in the normal sense and also compound ignorance as well, and also because they had little knowledge and their intellects were weak, and also they had evil intentions. So all of this together, you found that this was the scenario that was present in the time of Shaykhul Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, and he was facing up to the likes of these people who were making these claims. And at the same time, these people, they would claim to have knowledge, they would mock the Muwahideen, Shaykhul Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab and those with him, they would accuse them of being misguided. And all of this is because these people were wallowing in misguidance and in stubborn opposition and in arrogance and in preferring the life of this world over the hereafter. So when Shaykhul Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab says at the very end of this principle that the affair became turned the other way around, such that many of those claiming knowledge and claiming to guide the people, they said that the true awliya of Allah, they have to abandon following the messenger, And that anyone who follows the messenger, he cannot be from the awliya. Why did they say this? This is really the saying of the extremist Sufis. Those are the ones who say that there is the zahir and there is the batin. There is the sharia and there is the haqiqah. So they say that the sharia is for the common people. This is just for the common people who see only the outward things in life. And as for the batin or the haqiqah, the true reality, they say this is for us. And what do they mean by the true reality, the haqiqah? They mean by this that the obligations come to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, in that Allah reveals to them directly to their hearts how they should behave. As for the sharia, this is just merely an outward apparent thing for the common people, and the sharia is brought by way of angels from the men and angels from the jinn, and this is really a long-winded way. It's a long-winded way of revelation, and it is an inferior form of revelation. This is what the Sufis say, the extremists. They believe that those amongst them who receive revelation directly from Allah by inspiration, they are superior to the prophets and messengers. Why? Because those prophets and messengers have died and passed away, and so therefore when we follow the sharia brought by way of those prophets and messengers, we are really following, or we are taking information in which there is the possibility of mistakes and errors. Why? Because there is a lengthier, longer chain of narration. We have angels, then we have prophets, then we have men in between. And so really it means that we are essentially taking revelation from those who are dead. Whereas they claim, the Sufis, they say that we are taking revelation from he who is living and never dies. In other words, they mean to say that we are receiving revelation directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that reason, you see, they have many of these evil and vile statements. They say, for example, the Sufis, حَدَّثَنِي قَلْبِي أَنْ رَبِّي. My heart informed me about my Lord. Meaning they are claiming to take revelation. And they say, وَنَحْنُ أَخَذْنَا عَنِ الْحَيِّ أَلَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ وَأَنْتُمْ أَخَذْتُمْ عَنِ الْوَسَائِطِ. They say that we have taken from the living who never dies, but you have taken from the intermediaries. And they also say, وَنَحْنُ أَخَذْنَا بِالْحَقَائِقِ وَأَنْتُمْ اِتَّبَعْتُمْ الرَّسُومِ. That we have taken the realities, and you have just taken merely traditions. And even some of them, to such a degree in history, it was said to one of these people, these extremists in history, it was said to him, أَلَا تَذْهَبْ فَتَسْمَعَ الْحَدِيثِ مِنْ عَبْدِ الرَّزَاقِ. Why don't you go and listen to hadith from Abd al-Razzaq? And it was said to him, مَا يَسْنَعْ بِالسَّمَاءِ مِنْ عَبْدِ الرَّزَاقِ مَنْ يَسْمَعْ مِنَ الْمَلِكِ الْخَلَّاقِ. What will a person do listening to Abd al-Razzaq when he himself listens from the king, al-Malik al-Khallaq, the king and the masterful creator himself? In other words, why should I listen to Abd al-Razzaq and his hadith when I'm listening directly from the creator, from the king and the creator himself? So to this degree, you see how these people, they belittle revelation, they belittle the sharia, and therefore they belittle the prophets and messengers. And this is why they say that whoever follows the messengers, he cannot be a true wali of Allah. You cannot be a wali of Allah by following the messengers. Why? You can only be a wali of Allah by taking from him directly, by taking revelation from him directly. So you see the extent of this evil misguidance that these people had fallen into. So the reality is, the Shaykh finishes by saying that whoever abandons making ittiba of the messengers, he will go astray without a shadow of doubt. And whoever abandons iman and taqwa and loses them completely, then he is from the people of kufr and nifaq. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described his awliya as people of iman. They have iman and they have taqwa. And so therefore there are meanings behind iman, and there are meanings behind taqwa. So whoever is devoid of them completely, he can only be from the people of kufr and the people of nifaq. And then they say at the end that a person must abandon striving in the path of Allah, he must abandon iman, abandon taqwa, that only then a person can be a wali, and whoever adorns himself with these things, he cannot be a wali. So this is coming from a people who are the people of shirk, the people of bid'ah. You see, these people also, they consume the wealth of the common people in falsehood. They defraud them of their wealth, and they misguide them from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the kinds of people who were present in the time of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn al-Wahhab, and we find the same people present today, those who cheat and swindle the people, take their wealth from them, and also misguide them in the religion. These are the people of shirkiyat, the affairs of shirk and bid'ah. And these are the ones about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, لِيَحْمِلُوا أَوْزَارَهُمْ كَامِلَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمِنْ أَوْزَارِ الَّذِينَ يُضِلُّونَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, that they may bear the burdens of those people completely on the Day of Judgment. And from that they may bear their burdens on the Day of Judgment, and the burdens of those whom they led astray without knowledge. Surah An-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 25. So they say that anyone who adorns himself with iman and taqwa cannot be from them, meaning from the awliya of Allah. This is claimed by these enemies of Allah, whom Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, he faced up to them with his da'wah of tajdeed, da'wah of renewal, reviving the religion, when the milestones of Islam and the pure Hanif, the upright Islam, when the milestones had dwindled and disappeared. So this was a da'wah of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, and these were the types of people that he had to face in his time. And with that, the Shaykh concludes his explanation of the fifth principle. May Allah preserve him. And this concludes our lesson today, inshallah ta'ala. In the next lesson, we will conclude our discussion of this fifth principle from the explanation of Shaykh Ahmed bin Yahya al-Najmi, rahimahullah ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.